Alexander Papadaris is a Greek theologian that had a mighty call during World War II when the German paratroopers landed on the island of Crete in a town of Malemi. They were only met by a feeble resistance, really just farmers with farming tools and kitchen knives, and that didn't go down so well. In fact, they were ultimately rounded up and many in the village were actually executed. And in the town of Malemi, that started just this burning hatred towards Germany. But today on the airfield in Malemi is this Institute of Peace that was established by Alexander Papadaris, a Greek Orthodox theologian. He was only six at the time of the war, and really for him, it was really jarring because he too found himself in a concentration camp and he survived. And as he was trying to survive, even before the concentration camp, he came across a German motorcycle that was badly damaged, and he noticed that the rear vision mirror, the mirrors in it were all cracked. And as a kid, he tried to grab the fragments of the mirror and put it back together like a jigsaw puzzle. When he couldn't do it, he actually collected the largest piece of that mirror, and he rounded the edges so it became like this little tiny disc. And he loved this little bit of mirror. In fact, he used it all the time as a kid during the war. It kept him entertained. He would actually shine and really reflect the sunlight and reflect the sunlight so that he would use it to light up dark places. As he survived the war and as he grew up, and he really saw that the greatest need in Europe was to let go of the anger, was to forgive, was to be able to move on from the hatred that the war actually caused. So he started the Institute of Peace right at a really dark place, which was in this town of Malemi in Crete. And when he was giving a lecture one particular day, a student actually asked Alexander Papadaris, "What's the meaning of life? What's the meaning of life?" A nervous laughter really filled the room as Alexander, he pulled out his wallet and he grabbed that mirror and he held onto it and he said these words, "I am a fragment of a mirror whose whole design and shape I do not know. Nevertheless, with what I have, I can reflect light into dark places of this world and into the black places in the hearts of men and change some things in some people. Perhaps others may see and do likewise. This is what I am about. This is the meaning of my life." So I really just want to narrow in on one particular quote that he actually says. Let's magnify the quote a little bit. "With what I have, I can reflect light into the dark places of this world." With what I have. Well, what do we have? We have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what fills our heart and life. And that enables us as Christians to be a blessing to the world. It's the Holy Spirit in us that allows us to shine light into dark places. And Jesus Christ, he lived a freedom to bless life. Jesus shone kingdom light into dark places. And today, I really just want to share three stories from the life of Jesus where we will see that Jesus shines kingdom light into dark places, but it really comes out of his experience of the love of the Father in heaven on his life. I really love that story when Jesus is being baptized. And as he's being baptized, heaven opens and our Father in heaven speaks a public affirmation over the life of Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, we read this, "And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" Don't miss this line. What stands out to me, the Father says, "This is my Son whom I love." Jesus, before he did any public act, received an affirmation from our Father in heaven that he's loved. And when you know that your Father in heaven loves you, then God's love, it runs through your veins. Jesus could live an obedient, a freedom to bless life. Jesus could be radical in his words. Why? Because he knew that the Father loved him. Because the Father in heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love." And that propelled Jesus into an obedient life so that we can have life today in his name. And so there are three stories that I'm going to bring to us today that really just highlight the freedom to bless life that Jesus had. And it's really our life as well. Because when you believe in your head and in your heart, when you believe and you know that God loves you, his love, it runs through your veins and it can't help but want to flow out to those around you. And I want you to know that God does love you. You are his son, you are his daughter. In the name of Jesus, you become part of God's family. God does love you. We don't always feel it at times. Life is always a struggle, but that's where we can find freedom in the struggle because of God's presence. And when the love of God runs through your veins, you want to be a blessing to others. You want to, as Alexander Papadaris says, you want to shine light, God's light, into dark places. So here's the first story I want to introduce us today, and that is the healing of the paralytic. It's really forgiveness that brought freedom. Forgiveness that brought freedom. Now, Jesus, he was confronted by four friends that had a big faith. And when I say to my boys, I've got three younger boys, when I ask them what's big faith, usually Micah, my youngest, pipes up first and says, "Oh yeah, big faith, Dad, that's believing that God can." Believing that God can. Well, four friends believed that Jesus could heal their friend who was paralyzed. They carry their man, their friend, on a mat, and they get to where Jesus is teaching, but the room is crowded. They can't actually get their paralyzed friend to Jesus. And so they very creatively overcame that obstacle and dig a hole in the roof and lowered this man down. And I think Jesus was astounded. Astounded because of their big faith. They believed that God could heal them. And I love what Jesus says first to this man. You'd expect Jesus to say, "Get up and walk." But no, that's not ultimately what Jesus says first. The very first thing that Jesus says is, "Your sins are forgiven. Son, your sins are forgiven." It's an astounding statement. In fact, it was a real challenge for those that were also in the room. There were some religious leaders that were questioning, why would Jesus say that? Where does he get that authority? In fact, that's what we read in verse 6. Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus knew in his spirit what they were thinking in their hearts. And so Jesus said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? What's easier to say? Son, get up, walk, or that your sins are forgiven. But that you may know that the Son of God has authority, the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. Get up and walk." And in full view, they actually see this paralyzed man walk. But what is absolutely profound to me is that Jesus saw that this bigger need in the man was that he was disconnected from God, and his greatest problem was actually his desperate need for God to forgive him. And that's what happens in this miracle. Yes, he's restored and can get up and walk, and it's glorious. And those that were in the room were astounded at the authority of Jesus and his teaching. But for this man, he walked away forgiven. He walked away reconnected to God. And that is our greatest need in this world, is our disconnection from God, our sin, our rebellion against God. And we can experience a forgiveness that brings us freedom. That man walked away, yes, but he walked away with a greater freedom because he was forgiven. And that's ultimately what Jesus wanted to do. He wanted to bring forgiveness. And that's what we see in this first story. It's a forgiveness that brought freedom. The second story is healing that brought wholeness. Healing that brought wholeness. Jesus actually healed this man that was a leper. Just think about the context for a few moments. If you had leprosy, your outlook was pretty grim. Let's try and imagine this story. This man that's got leprosy most likely said goodbye to his loved ones for the last time. Could you imagine that? The person that you were closest to, they've just walked out the door for the last time. They would actually need to find a leper colony, which is usually in a cave, where their flesh would be rotten and they would ultimately die. This man said goodbye to his loved ones probably for the last time. That's a desperate situation to be in. Who knows what he was thinking? What about the grieving family back at home? Mortified, upset, distraught, torn apart. That moment where you feel like you've lost your wallet, but magnified by a million. This is a desperate situation. And so this man with leprosy sees Jesus. And he also has a big faith. He also believes that God can. And so he actually runs to Jesus. He calls to him and he says, "If you are willing, make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing, be clean." That is utterly absurd if you're reading it in the first century. If you had leprosy, you would touch somebody with leprosy. You would have to go to the temple and be cleansed. You were also a social outcast. It was a massive inconvenience to your life if you touched somebody with leprosy. So what does Jesus do? He embraces this man and he heals him. Can you imagine that moment when this man who has wholeness again, healing that brought wholeness, can you imagine what happened as he goes back to his family, when he walks back into his home completely healed? Can you imagine his family that receive him back again from grief to joy, from being torn apart to being whole again? The reunion of that family, my mind wanders. Why? Because Jesus was shining kingdom light into dark places. And I've been really impressed and encouraged here at CBC how some of us are really allowing our constraints to guide our creativity in the way that we continue to shine light into dark places. I've got a few stories that I've collected from people here in CBC that are being a real blessing to others. And I want to share a few of these stories with you. I won't give away the person's name to start off with, but this person writes, "This year, following a real prompting from the Holy Spirit, I began volunteering in a nursing home. And I didn't really know what it looked like. But I know for this person, they just love sitting with the elderly, the forgotten, being present, giving time, just giving some love to those in a retirement home. And then lockdown happens, and I'm prevented to visit. Following a whisper in my head, I made lavender bags and attached a note to each saying, 'I'm thinking of you,' and I dropped them at the door." Well, the response that this person got back really moved them to tears, as each resident felt something of God's love in that little bag. And this person that just decided to be light in the darkness, wow, says, "I'm so thankful that I listened and obeyed the Holy Spirit." Well done, Kathy Reynolds. Well done. Another story that really brings me joy is, this is a reflection, I'm just reading out their reflection. "Because we are all social beings, lockdowns are painful and confusing at times. We all need encouragement." Isn't that true? We all need encouragement. "I was wondering how God could use me to encourage people in lockdown. I felt a real need for single people and families with kids with special needs. So I baked a variety of cookies, packed them with a little card, and Iva delivered them and prayed with the folk at the door." Iva's doing an awesome job. So they went over to the Stanton's house, and by the look on Sarah's face, now they've got two kids with special needs, but the look on Sarah's face, I'm not sure Jason, Gracie or Carter got many of the cookies, but Jason did send back a picture of an empty container. Liz Lewis. Well done, Liz, for being a river of blessing, being that light in the darkness. This is our Freedom to Bless vision continuing today. The last story I want to bring to you is the feeding of the 5,000, because it's really food that brought faith. Food that brought faith. Jesus is teaching, and not only just teaching, but some incredible miracles that Jesus is actually doing. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them, and he healed the sick. I just wish that we saw so much more about that moment. So he's kind of teaching by the side of the lake there, and he's just healing the sick. Just incredible. What was happening? Who got saved? What were those moments like? But as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the village and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." I love when Jesus throws them a curveball, his disciples. They're like, yeah, there's like thousands. Like there's like 5,000. That's just the men. So there's probably more, like when there's women and children. There could be like 10,000 plus. Who knows? There's like thousands and thousands. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, "You feed them." Can you imagine like Peter, James, and John just looking at each other going, how are we going to do that? "So we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. Jesus says, "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, he gave thanks, he broke the loaves, then he gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. 2 things I want to point out about this story for us. I love that boy that just brings what he has, just a few fish and a few loaves, just gives over what he has. That's big faith right there. That's food that brought big faith, because they're about to see Jesus do an enormous miracle. But the main thing I want to point out is that when Jesus receives just a few loaves and a few fish, what's the first thing that Jesus does? He looks up and he prays to his Father. Nothing can happen outside of the Father's will when it comes to the kingdom of God coming to this earth. Our Father is orchestrating his kingdom. And Jesus submits in great obedience to our Father in heaven, even though he is one with the Father, and he looks up to the Father and he prays. With great dependence on God, he looks up. And now this is food that brings an enormous faith, because they all ate and were satisfied, because Jesus is enough, and there were certainly leftovers and more. There's a great story that I came across, and now it's really just a letter written to our church. Let me read it to you. "To my church family, last week, a lady named Tanika moved into a unit not far from me. As I went over to welcome her, she was near her windowsill, so I just nodded my head to say hello. She nodded back, then I went home. Anyway, not to my surprise, God was in my head and my heart, telling me that this lady needed help. At first, I just looked up to the sky and said to God, I didn't really want to know, and I laughed. But the next thing, I went to see Tanika, and I noticed from a distance that she had no furniture. The only thing that she had was a mattress on the floor. So I prayed, and I asked God, could he provide for her needs and bless her? Wow, did he provide. The next day, all sorts of things to give her arrived through different beautiful people here at CBC. And their generosity and all their needs were met, plus a food box. God had used my spirit within me, and with a little bit of faith and a bit of a nudge, he moved mountains. There are all different types of people to whom God leads me to in my little community. But here's the one that I give the credit to. It's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. Your sister in Christ, Liz Bartholomew." Incredible story of just looking up. And I also want to say well done, Steph Cockle, as you saw some of that need and you got a lot of people together, furnished this person's house. And Barb, well done with putting a food box on top of that as well. CBC, this is the vision. This is the freedom to bless life, that the church would come together and shine light into darkness. Can you imagine for this woman who just had a mattress on the floor to a fully furnished house? Why? Because the people of God saw a need and stepped in. And Jesus lived that freedom to bless life. And we're doing that with our Lighthouse family. We're doing that with these pastors in Rwanda. but I'm so proud that we're doing it down the road as well. Brian McLaren, in his book, The Secret Message of Jesus, says this: signs and wonders are dramatic enactments of his message that are the message of the kingdom spread in media beyond words. I love that statement, spread with media beyond words. They combine to signify the impossible is about to become possible. The kingdom of God with its peace, healing, sanity, freedom is available to all here and now. The kingdom is available to all here and now. And we see that this paralyzed man experienced a forgiveness that brought him freedom. We saw a leper that experienced a healing that brought wholeness. We've seen that the crowd ate their fill and were satisfied because of this boy who brought food that actually brought faith that Jesus could do the impossible. Our freedom to bless life is about us shining light into the dark areas of our world. And we've heard some great stories today. We may be scattered right now, but we here at CBC, we are united in Christ to be a force of influence and blessing to our world. Can I encourage you this week? Listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter how big or small it was. I was walking the dog and my two boys the other days that needed some exercise just down at a dog park near us, and I saw a mum that was struggling just to put a chain on her little girl's bike. And so I came along, and I know bikes, so I could put that on, and she was so thankful, and as her little kid was trying to ride without training wheels, she was so thankful, and it was just a little moment to be a blessing to a mum. Whatever it may be, have eyes for others. We will unite together to live a freedom to bless life, because it's Christ that brings wholeness. It's Christ that brings freedom. It's Christ that enables us to have a faith to even please God. We need to remember that blessing starts with me. Blessing starts with you. But it will always come out of experiencing the love of God in our heart first. May you know the love of God. He does. He loves you immensely. Let me pray. Our Father, we thank you. I praise you for what you're doing through Caringbah Baptist Church, even in a lockdown time. I thank you for my brothers and sisters that are reaching out to others to be a real light in a really dark time. I thank you, Jesus, for your life, that you would bring freedom to this paralytic through just great forgiveness, that this leper would be whole again and restored to his family, that those that ate and had their fill could actually start a journey of faith, believing that you can. Lord, I pray that you would send us out this week with a boldness and a love that we, Lord Jesus, would see a moment to bless and step in, and that, Lord, that your love would flow from us into our world. Fill us, Lord, that we would be sent out, overflowing your kingdom today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.